who am I and what am I called to do? And so today, as a Christian, I am called to be in submission to Christ. That's only part one of our series that I'm going to be looking at. And as one dwells into the subject, it becomes more and more clear that you cannot say everything that you want to say in just a few minutes. So I've just divided it up because I think it's important, seeing that we're also dealing with young couples and mature married couples. And today we're looking at the life of submission. Now, I believe, listen to me carefully, right? I believe that if men want to steal the hearts of their girlfriends and wives, then spoiler with diamonds. Now, this is relatively true for most relationships, if not all relationships. There are two things the marketing industry have picked up with respect to men and women. Both sexes want to look costly and smell costly. Now, I am told that tanzanite is another stone that women dream of wearing. And the reason a man will spend all that money for costly stones is because he wants to prove to his wife or his girlfriend how much he loves her. The husband believes that his wife in his books comes at a very, very high price. Yet we all know that things or money can't buy love. Amen? Nobody's saying amen. It can certainly impress, but not buy. There is something else that proves even more costly than diamonds. And what is it that is more costly than diamonds? You know, some time ago, I remember we sang a chorus in the early beginnings of this church. And the chorus went like this: Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares with you. Remember that song? Now, the songwriter is right. The Lord is more costly than diamonds, yet he is available to all who call on the name of the Lord. Indeed, nothing is more priceless and costly as the sacrificial death of Jesus and the eternal life he offers. Nothing I desire compares to Jesus' love for the church and for me individually and personally. Do you remember we used to speak about the three golden words in life? Do you know what the three golden words in life is? Okay, or probably it's more phrases, three golden phrases. I am sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Three golden phrases. Remember that? I don't know if you've been to premarital counseling, but that's what I teach my premarital students who come to counseling and when they're getting married. Whenever you have a tiff, whenever you have a disagreement, whenever you have a struggle, those are three golden words you remember. But I want to offer you three diamond words, which is better than gold. Okay? Three diamond words that will help men and women in their relationship within marriage. And the three diamond words come from the scriptures: submission, love, respect. Submission from the wife, love from the husband, respect again from the wife. Two of those diamond words belongs to the wife. See how important she is? She needs diamonds. So give her diamond words. Submission and respect comes from the wife. Submission is not only required of the wife to the husband, it is required of every single believer from whatever culture or background they come from. Have a look at verse 21 of chapter 5. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Can you see that? Every believer, every single one of us who are Christians, who call ourselves Christians, embrace Jesus, is called to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so submission begins with us as believers. And if it has been genuinely practiced within the relationship of believers, then it would be easy or easier within the marital relationships. Yet in reality, it's not so easy. Am I right? Submission is a word that has been hugely misunderstood in society and indeed in the home. The simple reason is because it has been misused, abused, and mostly rejected by so-called liberated women. Now the word submission is not only a biblical word, but a word of great importance, as we shall see in the life of our Lord who embodied it. Have a look at Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. And I want to read that. It'll appear on the screen. You don't need to return to the scriptures. It says, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus submitted himself to his Father's will. You will see this submission in the prayer he taught his disciples to pray. Pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. However, he goes on to say in the prayer itself, Lord, please take this cup of suffering from me. Not my will, but your will be done. See this in John 17 again. Submission is to the church and to the Father. You'll see it in his submission to the cross. Remember, the submission of Jesus brought us eternal life with the Father. So submissiveness is a universal Christian obligation. So submission, friends, is not subjugation. It is not something where you basically become a slave in terms of how it has been understood. Submission is absolutely biblical in the sense that God has called us to submit. Of course, women liberation movements would have us believe that submission is subjection and subjugation. And I want to say this, that we cannot condone the past treatment of women. We cannot condone the past treatment of children and even the present treatment of children and workers. The Bible is clear with respect to the dignity of womanhood, childhood, and servanthood. There is an even deeper unity of Christian believers because we are all made in God's image and we are fellow members of God's family. Yet having said that, there is also a divine order within the relationships that we are called to follow. Let me give you an example. You see, I am the bishop of a denomination called Reach South Africa. That is my office. Right? Within the function of that office, there is authority, there is responsibility, and there is respect. But I am also a child of God. I am a Christian believer like every one of you. That means I am equal with you in every sense of the word. God saved me in as much as he saved you. God gave me the same Holy Spirit that he has given you. I am in the same position of grace as you are. So we are equal and we are co-equals. So too with the relationship of husbands and wives, parents and children, employers and employees. The liberation movements only really came about to address the injustices in society. And there were vile humiliation, friends. There was exploitation and oppression of women, children, and slaves, or work. Today we don't call them slaves. We basically call them employees. So we welcome those who stood up for the just treatment of women, barbaric slavery, and appalling injustices. The problem with liberation movements is that they have swung the pendulum too far to the right. And in doing that, they have redefined the biblical view of authority and submission to the point of disorder. And the biblical concept of authority is not tyranny, but responsibility. The biblical concept of submission is not subjugation, but respect. Now, where did authority and submission begin? Well, it began in Eden, in creation. The order of creation is that man was created, then woman. And it will end in redemption, or it ends in redemption. And the problem we face is the struggle to deal with sin within redemption. And the problem we face with is that we have in creation the reality which concerns the headship of the husband to the wife. That's the difficulty. And in redemption, it concerns Jesus' headship to the church. Now, when I talk about redemption, these are big words in terms of your understanding. But it is in the Bible. And redemption really means to be saved. God saved you and he saved me. He bought us back with his precious blood. Now, I have been a pastor for the past 25 years. And having been a pastor, I have visited many homes and have counseled many couples. Whether it is within my home or whether it is within your home, the problem is not so much whether we believe that Christ is the head of the church. We know that, we believe that, and we accept that. However, the real issue is headship of the husband to the wife. The three diamond words that keeps on coming up is love, respect, and submission. Now the wife says, my husband is cold, distant, indifferent, and thoughtless, and I don't feel loved anymore. The husband complains that his wife has lost her respect for him, and he cannot handle such a nag. He's talking about his wife. I cannot handle the diarrhea of words that flows out of her mouth. Now, I'm finding out that within the modern 21st century couple, that there's a slight difference. The modern 21st century couples are more in love. Listen to what I'm saying. They are more in love with their phones, iPods, iPads, when they engage in social media via WhatsApp, BBM, Twitter, blogging, etc. That in communicating with their spouses, they do so strange. Within the context of this little thing. From one room to the next. and they're in the same house. There is that absence of an eyeball to eyeball, sitting down together, expression upon expression, heart to heart, talking about things. What happens is this leads to frustration, anger, resentment, and finally, a way out. Friends, we need to get back to the biblical basics. And the biblical basic is, as Ephesians tells us in verse 22 and 23, it gives us the duty of the wives. It says, wives, comma, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, there are two reasons why wives are called to submit to their husbands. One is because of Jesus, and two is because of Jesus. Have a look at this. Jesus is the head of church. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So you will see there that Jesus is the head of the church, and Jesus is the Savior of the church. And that is very, very clear. That includes you, dear wife. Jesus is both your head and he's your Savior. Paul deals with this in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 3 to 12. And perhaps we can read that. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head uncovered dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as having a head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to shave her hair cut off, or her head shaved off, then she should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. For this reason, and because of the angels, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Now, that's a long passage. What does it mean? And many, many people think about hats and dukes, what they put over their heads and cover their heads. Now, there was a certain culture, certain place, certain time. Things were done in that way. But I don't want to go into the detail of that, because I'm not dealing with that right now. I'm not talking about head covering. I'm talking about headship. So, let me explain the passage. The passage can be very contentious if you do not properly understand it. Paul is dealing with the headship of the husband to the wife, and he goes right back to creation. And here's the order. Paul says, woman was made after man, not before. Did you hear that? Woman was made after man, not before. Woman was made out of man, not out of dust. Woman was made for man and not against man. Can you see the complementary nature of man to woman in this whole thing? Paul continues in verse 11 that man is also born from woman, so that they are both dependent on each other. That's in 1 Corinthians. The emphasis is in the order, is basically the order, the mode, and the purpose of creating. Now, since Eve is representative of all women, Paul's argument for headship has permanent and universal validity, irrespective of culture, race, or social baggage. You know, friends, my wife and your wife are called to submit not because of superiority, or for that matter, inferiority. No, wives are called to submit to their husbands because of creation, or what creation has established. John Stott says this: our new creation in Christ, you'll see that on the screen, frees us from the distortion of relations between the sexes, whether it's male or female, caused by the fall in Genesis 3:16. But it establishes the original intention of creation. It was this beginning that Jesus himself went to when he said, the two shall become one. So what creation has established and redemption confirmed, let no culture destroy. And sometimes we always want to argue on the point of culture. But friends, sometimes we must throw our culture out the window and accept the biblical principle that God lays out, because culture oftentimes leads us astray. I'm not saying culture is bad. What I'm saying is that if culture goes against the Bible, then we rather embrace the Bible and throw out the culture. Don't go away thinking that man and woman are so equal that problems ought not to occur. See, the Bible does not say that they are identical. The Bible says they're equal and co-equals. And you will notice here that man and woman are not identical. If you are sitting next to your husband, or if you're sitting next to your wife, then take a look at her. I mean, really. If you haven't taken a look at her this morning and told her that you look so beautiful, then take a look at her now. All right. What do you see? What do you see in your wife? What do you see in your husband? Another man, if you're a wife? Another woman, if you're the husband? Yes, you do. But you also see masculinity and femininity. What do I mean by this? Well, you see physiological differences. Physically, she's different from you. Am I right? Every woman will have the same physical components to another woman. And so with every man, will have the same physical components to another man. Doesn't matter. He might be tall, he might be short, he might be fat, maybe thin, but he has the same physical component. Same with women. Why do you think the world has coined the phrase women are from Venus and men are from Mars? It is simply to distinguish how different men are from women. And the differences should not be to be scorned upon or rejected or embraced, but the difference should be really should complement each other. So the Bible wants us to hold simultaneously the equality and complementarity of the sexes. So as I close, the wife in a God-given role does not resist her husband's authority or she will be in conflict with the scriptures, but joyfully submits to it. Now, friends, I hear it all the time. I've heard it all the time, and we hear it again within the context of our home. I don't know if you hear this from your children or from the wives. You know, whenever your son or daughter or your child is absolutely difficult, and they don't want to listen to you, what does the wife tell the child, or the mother tells the child? Wait till your father comes from work, and he will deal with you. You heard that? Well, what is the wife naturally doing? Well, she's acknowledging the husband's God-given authority over the household. So verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as a church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now, ye is something that I have to continue with, which I cannot say today. And if you want to listen to the second part, come again and listen to the message, because there's so much to say. And wives may be saying, but Pastor, you don't know my husband. Or husbands may be saying, but Pastor, you don't know my wife. Well, come to the next part, and you will know what the answer to the question is. Now, friends, as I close again, if Jesus is precious to you, so should your husband, or so should your wife. If wives are a compliment to their husband, then complete is in completeness. Let us pray. Thank you that we are called in the scriptures, especially the men, to be the head of the wife. Head, not in a demanding, authoritative way, but head in terms of how the husband loves his wife. O God Almighty, we pray that the wife will realize a God-given responsibility. She is called to submit. And I pray that we may not listen to the voices of the world. And we pray that the submission will not be one that will demean her and remove her dignity altogether. Because God has not called us to such vile humiliation that we submit to everything. We pray, O God Almighty, that you'll give wisdom to the wives on how to deal with their husbands. If they are Christians, they will live according to the standard of God's word. So, Lord, we pray that you'll give each one of us the mindset to live and to please you and to be in submission to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.